The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Purport. This text is from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. It appears as the fifth of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think if the ladies move up, because there's people who will come from the back, there's empty real estate here that you can fill in. And the men can swing a little bit to this side, to my right. Not radical enough, ladies. More. Yeah, that was a phone. We'll give a couple minutes of amnesty on the phones. But this is your last chance to turn off your cell phones. And those who are sitting just here, if you could sit more a little this way so your backs are not directly to the deities, that would be good. Just turn a little this way or that way. That's good. Thank you very much. Om Gyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstra Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchako Pitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir, Ladini Shakti Rasmad, Ekatmana Vapi Bhuvi Pura, Deha Bhedam Gatauta. Chaitanakam prakatam aduna tadvayam chaikyam aptam radha bhava duti subalitam naomi krishna swarupam. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shriyate. There's no meaning to the personality of Godhead without energies. The impersonal conception is less advanced because it amalgamates everything into one homogeneous substance, one blob. Everything is one. And in that oneness, there's no variety, and therefore there's no actual enjoyment. It's a neophyte conception of the Absolute Truth. It's the beginning conception of the Absolute Truth. Sarva Kalavidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Everything is non-different from the Absolute. But that non-difference is insufficient, either for understanding spiritual reality or even for understanding material reality. It's not adequate. Like in science, you can have a theory, but it has to be adequate to cover all the facts, otherwise the theory fails. So among the facts that we have to deal with is that we have a world full of variety. Different colors, different shapes, different substances. Some things are hard, some things are soft, some things are big, some are small, some are green, some are yellow. Those are things. And then there's people. Some of them are hard, some of them are soft, and so on. That means there are manifest before us varieties. So if everything is absolutely one, where do you get all these varieties from? If, according to Advaita Vedanta, everything is absolutely one, then we don't see that everything's absolutely one. There's a difference between eating the sweet rice and eating the spoon. So where's what happened? Oh, that's Maya. Actually, everything is one, but just there appear to be differences between one thing and another, between one person and another, because of Maya. Actually, there's only the one absolute Brahma, but due to illusion, we're seeing varieties. They don't really exist. Okay, now we still have two, because we have the Absolute Truth, the reality, and we have Maya. That's not one, that's two. So how can there be two? Well, you can't use that again and say, well, that's Maya. That explanation's used up. So where do we go? We have no place to go. Everything's supposed to be absolutely one, and yet we have variety that we can't explain by reference to everything is one. Therefore, that idea is good only for the beginners who haven't dealt with that question or who haven't had further understanding of the Absolute Truth. They have it right, everything is one, but they don't understand how everything is one. How could everything be one at the same time that there's differences? The Maya theory doesn't cover it. Oh, that's because of Maya. That fails. That's a kludge. It doesn't work. So we have to understand Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shriyute. The Absolute Truth has varieties of energies. Parashya of the Supreme Shakti Vividhaiva. There are variegated energies of the Absolute Truth. Now it becomes intelligible. Everything is one because everything is Krishna. But Krishna has his energies. And through his energies, he's doing everything. Ekadesha stitasyadnir jyotsna vistirni yata parasya pramana shakti tatedham tatedam akilam jagat. As a fire is sitting in one place, but occupying the whole room, spreading itself throughout the whole room by heat and by light. So the personality of Godhead, although one, manifests himself everywhere through his energies. Vishnu Shakti Pra Prokta Kshetra Gyakyam Tatapara Avidya Karma Sangyamya Tritiya Shakti Vishute. His energies are principally or are divided. Yeah, you can say categorized better in three. Vishnu Shakti Pra Prokta. He has his superior energy, the energy that manifests the spiritual world, eternally existing, eternally blissful, eternally full of knowledge, manifest from the Lord's Pada Shakti, his superior energy. And Kshetra Gyakya Tatapara, there's also another spiritual energy, which is called Kshetragya, or Tatastha Shakti, the living entities who are in the marginal position. They're in the marginal position because when they look toward the Supreme, they're spiritually situated. But when they look toward the inferior material world, they become trapped when they look away from Krishna. So they're like the sand on the shore. Sometimes it's underwater or sometimes it's on land. It can go either way. So Kshetra Gyakya Tatapara, it's spiritual energy. But when the spiritual energy looks away from Krishna because of being tiny, he becomes captured by the third energy, avidya karma sangyanya, the energy of ignorance and hard work. Avidya and all sorts of activities for trying to enjoy and exploit the resources of the material world. This is the energy of Maya, the energy of illusion. These are the three principal energies of the Absolute Truth. They're all spiritual, ultimately, because Krishna is spiritual. From Krishna's point of view, all of the energies are spiritual. Even the material energy, from Krishna's point of view, is spiritual. Or from any point of view, it's spiritual when seen in connection with Krishna. Just as the college is the energy of the state, and the prison is the energy of the state. From the state's point of view, they're equally good. They're both necessary. We fund both. Money can go for college. Money can go for the prison. They're both state agencies. But from the point of view of those who attend, college is one thing and prison is another. They work differently. They have different purposes. They feel different. Even though they're both the energy of the state, even from one point of view, it's absolutely the same because it's the same pounds, shillings, and pence. You just put it here and it becomes a college. You put it there and it becomes a prison. But from the state point of view, it's just money. You move it this way, you move it that way. So from one angle of vision, it's spiritual, because it's all non-different from the state. It's state treasury appearing in different ways. In America, when there's a highway that's under construction, they'll say, your tax dollars at work. That's the sign. So when they're building a highway, that's your tax dollars at work. When you're building a college, that's your tax dollars at work. When they're building a prison, that's your tax dollars. It's the same tax dollar, but it's being manifest differently according to different purposes. So Krishna has different purposes, and therefore he manifests his different energies. Material energy, marginal energy, spiritual energy. Shakti, shakti, mateyor, peda. They're all non-different from Krishna. Actually, there's nothing but Krishna. Eka brahma dutiya nasti. There's only Krishna. Vasudeva sarvamiti. There's nothing but Krishna. But Krishna includes his energies. Krishna means Krishna with his energy. Just as the sun includes the sunshine. Or the fire includes the fire, the sparks, the wood, the smoke. They're all together, the fire, the fuel. Yeah, I said wood. All together, they're fire. None of them are separate from the fire. You can't have separately existing smoke. You can. It's the separated energy of the fire. Without fire, you can't. What is that? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Or there's a Vedic logical example. We're seeing fire, smoke, therefore there must be fire. So fire, smoke can't exist independently, but it can exist separately. It can exist separately, but not independently. So the material energy is a separated energy, Vinna Prakriti. But still, it's not different from Krishna. It's not actually separate. So everything is non-different from Krishna, and still everything has its own discrete existence. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. There's nothing but Krishna. So we come to the spiritual energy, Chit-Shakti, spiritual energy. And there again, there are different potencies. The potency for existence, the potency for knowledge, the potency for enjoyment. The potency for enjoyment is called Ladini Shakti. Krishna's interested in enjoying. Govindamadi Purusham. He's the supreme enjoyer. But enjoyment doesn't take place alone. Prabhupada was speaking in an assembly. He gave the example that if I were sitting here alone, it wouldn't be very enjoyable. But because I'm here, the audience is here, so there's some enjoyment. Enjoyment means individuality. The Mayavadis want to obliterate the distinction between subject and object, or between oneself and God. And inadvertently or unavoidably, they delete enjoyment also. There can't actually be enjoyment in oneness. There can be relief. At least I'm not suffering like a dog in the material world. There can be a vague sense of, not even sense, one can be absorbed into a blissful effulgence, but one can't even appreciate it. One can't even sense it because there's no senses or there's no individual active to appreciate it. So enjoyment is really out of the picture. But when there's individuality, then there's enjoyment. When there's individuality, there's enjoyment. So Krishna, when we want to enjoy, we go looking for our friends. Our friends, our husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend. Pick up the phone. Hi, what you doing? Would you like to such and such, go to the movie, do this, this, and this? Because independently, we're sitting there bored. So we go looking for a boyfriend or girlfriend or someone with whom to enjoy. We want to have a good time. So we get together with our friends or lovers or whatever. Because we're dependent also. Even if we're just sitting alone, we're dependent on the television station or the radio station or the internet or some book that someone's written, something for enjoyment. There are scientific experiments involving sensory deprivation, you know, where you're cut off from everything. And it's not very enjoyable. People hallucinate or whatever it is that they do. But it's experienced as being weird and not being very enjoyable. Because we enjoy in association with others, or either direct or indirect. And therefore we're dependent on others. But Krishna's declared in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first verse, Swarat, he's independent. He doesn't depend on anyone else. Swarat. So for his enjoyment also he's independent. But that doesn't mean that there's no exchange, no individuality. For his enjoyment, he simply expands himself. For our enjoyment, we depend on something or someone. We depend on the television, we depend on the radio, we depend on the boyfriend or girlfriend, we depend on the movie producer. We're dependent. Dependent on money, dependent on good weather, dependent on so many things to enjoy. But Krishna manifests everything from himself. He manifests everything from himself. Although he's one, eko bahu syama, he becomes many for enjoyment. It's his nature to enjoy. But when he wants to enjoy, he just expands himself. And that... Please turn off your cell phones. For Krishna to enjoy, he expands himself. And then he's two. Deha bedam gatauto, ekatmanav apibhuva, ekatmanav apibhuvi pudha, deha bedam gatauto. Although he's one, he becomes two. And then there's enjoyment. Radha Krishna pranaya vikriti. These Radha Krishna lila is all the manifestation of Krishna expanding his energy for enjoying in different ways. It's Krishna himself, the absolute truth, expanding his spiritual energies. The energy is not different from Krishna, therefore Srimati Radharani is not different from Krishna. but they're manifest as two, Radha Krishna. Why two only? Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bhita Biryeva Nijata Rupa Kala Tyabhi. Nijarupa Kala Tyabhi. Srimati Radharani further expands herself for Krishna's enjoyment. So many gopis. Just to increase Krishna's happiness. Or when Krishna expands as Narayan, then Srimati Radharani expands as Lakshmi. When Krishna expands as Lord Ramchandra, then Srimati Radharani expands as Sita Devi. The energy and the energetic together are complete. Only energy is impersonal. Only energy is impersonal. There must be an energetic source. Only energy doesn't work. The people talk about, there was some new bogus yogi whose followers I ran into in America this time. And they talk about the energy. You know, it's nothing new. But they don't consider that if there's energy, there must be a source of energy. If there's electricity, there must be a powerhouse. If there's sunshine, there must be a sun. So just energy is incomplete. And just God without energies is also impersonal, incomplete. There must be energies. Otherwise, how do you explain anything? Again, we see so many manifestations, even in this material world. So we have to take into account that God has energies. And why only material energies? God is there in the spiritual world, dham nasvena sada nirastakulakam. So there he's manifesting his spiritual energies. So these Radha Krishna activities are manifestations of Krishna's dealings with his own pleasure energy. And Maya is also a manifestation of Krishna's pleasure energy, but it's the shadow. Chayeva yasya. It's his shadow, the shadow of the spiritual energy. And in the shadow, you don't get substance. If you have a shadow of an apple, that's not going to be very satisfying for your hunger. Maya is like that, chayeva. It's the shadow of reality. It's not reality. There's the shadow of pleasure, but not actual pleasure. Rather, there's frustration. You try and grab that apple that's Tantalus, who's in Greek mythology condemned to stand by the water and see the enjoyable fruits in the water and never be able to catch them because they're not existing. And we're trying to enjoy something that doesn't exist. Mohad grihit vasad grahan. We're out of illusion. We're grasping for something which isn't there. We're trying to enjoy pleasure where there is no pleasure. And that too, because we're not enjoyers. We're not enjoyers and there's no pleasure. So on both counts, the project is doomed. The enjoyer is Krishna. And for him, everything can be enjoyed. Purusha, he's the actual enjoyer, Purushottam, the supreme enjoyer. And we're Prakriti. We're meant to give enjoyment to Krishna. That means that we have a role in relationship with Krishna in terms of giving pleasure to Krishna. We're also meant to give pleasure to Krishna. When we try to become the enjoyer of pleasure, we fail and we suffer. But when we try to give pleasure to Krishna, then we take our position in the pleasure-giving potency. Dayavim prakritim ashrita. Mahatmanas tumam parta dayavim prakritim ashrita. What is the business? Bhajantyananya manaso. Gyatva bhutana melviyam. Krishna is the origin of everything. My business is to serve Krishna. Ananya manasa. No other business. Arna kriyamanayash. No other business but to serve Krishna, serve the representative of Krishna. The spiritual master is also considered the representative of Srimati Radharani because he's engaging the living beings in reviving their eternal business of giving pleasure to Krishna. Giving pleasure to Krishna means bhakti, bhajanti, by serving Krishna. Deyadeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. Krishna can't be known by any amount of Vedic study. He's not satisfied by any amount of this, that, or the other thing. But he's interested in devotional service. That's the pure spiritual exchange, the exchange of devotional service between Krishna and the living entity. And that's where the pleasure is. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami says that a characteristic of devotional service is that it makes all the other pleasures seem insignificant. Material pleasure is so bad that those who've attained liberation have no interest in material pleasure. They don't consider it to be pleasure. They reject it. This is a farce. It's not pleasure. It's a substitute, a fraud. A painful fraud also. Like a Nigerian scam, you think that you're going to get, 10 times your money and you get nothing. It all gets taken away. And that's Maya. So those who've attained Brahman realization, they reject Maya. There's no pleasure there. And those who've attained devotional service, they reject impersonal realization. There's no pleasure there. All right, there's pleasure there. The water in the hoofprint of a calf compared to the ocean of bliss, that much pleasure. That means practically nothing. Mystic powers, not interested. There's something that, if I could do this, I would enjoy. If I could create a planet, if I could bewilder people's minds. Those who've attained devotional service, are enjoying pleasure far beyond that. Because they've given up trying to be the enjoyers, they've become the servants. They've resumed their healthy condition as servants. So that, therefore they're giving pleasure, and they're also getting pleasure. The materialists are trying to get pleasure, maybe share it around among themselves, but they're not trying to give pleasure to Krishna. And the devotees, they're getting unlimited pleasure. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani. Iti rama padena so param brahma vidhyate. Krishna is called Ram because he's the reservoir of all pleasure. The yogis are getting unlimited, devotees are getting unlimited pleasure by serving Krishna. That's also by the grace of Srimati Radharani. The pleasure energy is giving pleasure to Krishna and also giving pleasure to the devotees, because Krishna, devotees want to please Krishna, and Krishna wants to please his devotees. Now this is all mediated by Krishna's pleasure energy. All mediated by Krishna's pleasure energy. This is the Anandam Buddhipardhanam. This is the business of the devotees, to give more and more pleasure to Krishna, and Krishna's business to give more and more pleasure to the devotees. The devotee is enjoying pleasure that even Krishna can't imagine. Therefore he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanakam prakatam aduna tadvayam chaikamaptam. Of course, he has many purposes, but one purpose is to understand, what is it that these devotees are getting by serving me? What is it about me that's so attractive to them? Even Krishna wants to taste that. He wants to find out what kind of nectar is there. For that purpose, he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means that Krishna is there, but Krishna manifests himself as two, Radha Krishna, and again he manifests himself as one, or they manifest themselves as one, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. There's no difference between Radha Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Except that Radha Krishna are more approachable as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we want to understand what is Radha Krishna, if we want to approach Radha Krishna, it's very difficult. Very exalted station. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is approachable. Not approachable, he's approaching. He's going everywhere. Dinahina yata chilo harinami udharilo. He's distributing the holy name of his holy name as the means for reviving our Krishna consciousness, reviving our love of Krishna. Dinihina yatachilo harinami udharila. Krishna prema pradayate. Therefore, he's Mahabharanyavatar. He's the most magnanimous. Because he's Krishna, but in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is more magnanimous than Krishna. Krishna is a little tough. But Srimati Radharani is more merciful. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is coming in the mood of Radharani. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the complexion of Srimati Radharani, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi. Krishna is blackish and Srimati Radharani is golden in complexion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inwardly he's Krishna, but outwardly he's Gaura. He's Krishna, but with the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani and with the mood of Srimati Radharani. Mood means that on one side she's full of love for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting love for Krishna. And on the other side, distributing love for Krishna. Krishna prema pradaya. So, Radha Bhava, duty subalitam. Both by complexion and by temperament, by mood, bhav. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing the merciful nature or the nature of Srimati Radharani as Krishna's devotee. Radharani means aradhana, devotional service. The business of Srimati Radharani is devotional service. In the devotional service, the essence of devotional service is prema, love for Krishna. The essence of love for Krishna is bhav. So that that love for Krishna is manifest by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distributed to the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haha Prabhu Nanda Shuta Prishabhanu Shuta Yuta. The son of Nanda Maharaj is united with Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, if we actually want to understand Radha and Krishna, if we actually want to approach Radha and Krishna, then we're best advised to serve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sangopangastra Parshanam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasa. Those who are intelligent can get the greatest benefit by worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the holy name of Krishna. The Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name, will give love for Krishna. It will give love for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed himself. He was a logician, a wrangler. If there had been an internet, he would have been on it, writing texts. But then he went to Gaya. He met Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri. And he changed. He got this Maha Mantra, and something happened. He went back to his Guru Maharaj and said, "I don't know what's happening. But I start chanting, and then I start shivering, and I want to dance, and I become like a madman. I think I'm going crazy." Spiritual master said, "Very good. You're chanting Hare Krishna, and you're getting love for Krishna." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing that love for Krishna through the Sankirtan movement. And therefore by pleasing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or by assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his desire, we get the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by his blessings, one can understand Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. we shouldn't try to understand Radha and Krishna independently. That will not be successful. But if we approach Radha and Krishna manifest as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then everything is amply available. Our goal of life is in sight. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. There's 6 minutes. Are there any questions? Yes. Why the living entity is addressed as he, masculine, not feminine? Grammatical convention.
It cannot be taught, it cannot be...
Yeah. Even if you go to Sanskrit grammar, everything is masculine, feminine, or neuter. But it doesn't necessarily indicate gender as in terms of what we think of as masculine or feminine. It's grammatical gender. Just like a ship, even in English, ships are she. But they're not girls. So by grammatical convention, the living entity may be addressed as he. Even sometimes Purusha. But you can put quotes around it when the living entity is addressed as Purusha, is so-called Purusha, or would-be Purusha, or a poor excuse for a Purusha. Asangayam Purusha. Yes.
Say that Krishna in the beginning, so he was alone, he was one. So that peace and openness, he can enjoy about himself. He doesn't need anything. So my question is, what is the reason that he decided to become two?
Why does Krishna decide to become two? For enjoyment.
But he can enjoy himself.
That's how he enjoys himself. If we want to enjoy, then we go looking for someone to enjoy with.
But
we can't enjoy ourselves. We have to call up someone and say, hey, would you like to get together? We could enjoy. Krishna doesn't need to do that. He expands himself and then says, let's enjoy. He doesn't have to go outside of himself to find someone to enjoy with. He just, from himself, expands. I was one, now I'm two, now I can enjoy. Yeah, it's a different way to enjoy. It's not how we do it. No, Krishna has different kinds of expansions. Some are called Svamsa. They're himself, basically. Ram, Nrsimha, Varaha, Balaram. They're all Krishna himself, expanded. Then Vimadamsa. Then there's the living entities, who are called separated expansions. They're different. They're the energy of Krishna. So one thing is the expansion of himself directly, and the other is the expansion of his energy. We're in the energy category. And in that category also small little pencil points. Shiva, his own category. Lord Shiva is his own, he's in his own category by himself. Yes, Krishna meditates upon himself. Who else is he going to meditate on? Yeah, I was going to say. He meditates on Srimati Radharani, who's also not different from himself.
If we
serve Krishna, but we don't get enjoyment. What happens if that sometimes happens? No. That's, of course, it may be Maya that we're serving Krishna and we've got something else going on the side. But if Krishna is withholding enjoyment, that's all right. The enjoyment will appear in due course. Even sometimes the appearance of struggle or of non-enjoyment is another kind of enjoyment. Say the athletes who are practicing and struggling really to, you know, get it together so that they can win the medal. Later, they reminisce about how tough it was, about how much they had to work, about how the trainer put them through it. And how are they thinking about it? They're thinking about it as something enjoyable to remember. The struggle itself has an element of enjoyment in it. The enjoyment is manifest when he's standing there with the trophy in his hand and he just won the whole thing. We say that's the enjoyment. But even the struggle itself, although it doesn't seem like enjoyment, later we'll say that was the great, I never had such a great time in my life. Therefore, yata tata vavadhatu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he can embrace me, he can kick me. To get kicked is also good fortune. If Krishna kicks us, that's good. Any way that Krishna wants to deal with us. The neophyte devotee, he'll serve if there's a, there always has to be like a little sugar candy there, otherwise he doesn't want to serve. And that's all right. The sugar candy is there. There's devotional service. There's always something sweet. But the advanced devotee, he's not thinking, I'll serve and I'll get. He just wants to serve. Very high platform. That's Srimati Radharani's platform. She's not thinking, I'll serve Krishna and Krishna will do this for me. I'll serve Krishna, that's all. If Krishna likes some other gopi, I'll push her forward. That's all. Just Krishna should enjoy. And that's the pure devotional service. I'm awaiting instructions. Do I take another question or two, or do we stop? Okay, I'm instructed to answer her question. Yes. By myself. Excuse me?
Something that I've been thinking about for
a long time.
In terms of spend 20, 30 years and devotee say there's no taste. And I'm just wondering if in the process of I'm after the duty that's what things look like, or what is it that
20 or 30 years, and I couldn't hear what happened after 20, 30 years. What?
Some devotees are talking about not having any taste.
Not having any taste. After 20 or 30 years. But they haven't gone away. So they're complaining there's no taste, but they're sticking around. But that's also, as I was saying, that's part of the deal, in one sense. That the devotee doesn't always... It's not, you know, this sort of lollipop land spirituality where, it's just full of big daisies with happy smiles on their face. There was a picture of Srila Prabhupada that used to sit on a table in 22nd Avenue, a little small picture. It's been published. And Prabhupada's, as I remember, bare-chested, and he has a big tilak on his arms. And he's looking very sad. Looking very sad. And Jadurani said to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you look so sad in that picture. Prabhupada said, that was a moment of ecstasy. This is discussed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that in the material world, there's two things. There's happiness and there's sadness. Or there's happiness and there's distress. But actually, the happiness itself is just a flip side of distress. What we call happiness is just the entry to distress. It's like the bait for the fish. It's happiness, but what kind of happiness is it? It's the happiness that's going to wind you up on a fish cart. So the distress, of course, is distress. And the happiness is actually just distress disguised. So happiness or distress, it's just all distress. And on the spiritual platform, happiness and distress, it's all happiness. Even this, what seems like distress, is another feature of ecstasy. Krishna is captured in the Kaliya's coils, and the Brajbasis are fainting. Yashoda Mai is going mad, and she's rushing into the water, and they have to hold her back. Everybody's in total devastation because their whole life is dedicated to Krishna, and Krishna's going to die. So it seems that they're in total devastation. What is that devastation? It's another feature of ecstasy. It's intense ecstasy. To us, it seems like it's distress. And you can say it is distress, but what is that distress? In the spiritual world, it's ecstasy. So even in the material world, the devotee is feeling, I'm not serving, I'm not getting anywhere, I don't have any taste. But that's another feature of spiritual progress. Mm-hmm. We're not in the camp. I'm always feeling ecstasy. I'm practically ready to jump into the kunjas in Vrindavan and, ask Radharani what I can do for her. And, I'm fit and ready to go. Advanced devotee doesn't think like that. He thinks that, how will I ever get anywhere?
I have so many anarthas, so many have no taste. That's a manifestation of a devotee's spiritual qualities. Okay. Yes.
This is just a comment in connection with oneness and Vedanta, which you mentioned. Actually, Vedanta is very dry compared to the yoga. That's why I can't imagine any Bhakti yogi being interested or being entertained by Vedanta, so to speak. But actually, there is one point here, which is that you see, everything is ultimately reducible to consciousness. And actually, Arthur Schopenhauer, he gave a rather banal experiment which one can do to actually understand this. You see, absolute truth is absolute, it is undifferentiated and undifferentiable. That being so, when you walk on the surface of the earth, you look at different buildings, one is tall and slender, another one is squat and not very tall, and so on. But as you make progress spiritually, in that way, what happens? You look down, everything, this high dimension has lost meaning. It has no meaning at all. Everything looks the same.
But then, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Then still, you're looking down on those buildings.
Yes. Well, that, it's a crude example.
No, but it's a good example. That here it seems some buildings are tall, some buildings are short, some are steel, some are wood. And then you go way up and it looks like they're all more or less the same height. That's because you're up here and they're down there. So there's still difference. Yeah, but that's true. But my point is that I'm seeing the oneness of all those buildings because now I'm in a different position. They're way over here, I'm way over there. So that means there's Dwight. There's individuality. But then what's the use of that example?
It's very crude.
It's crude? Then either we have to accept it or we have to throw it out.
Right.
If we accept it, now we're accepting that there's here and there. If we reject it, then it's finished. It's useless. So we accept it. We accept it. That there's even... Everything is reducible to consciousness, and they think that's it. Now we've gotten to consciousness, and it's just... You know, like car headlight stuff. That's consciousness. It's all one. We also reduce everything to consciousness. But when we go deep into consciousness, and we see that in consciousness, there's variety. There's unlimited variety. They look and they see it's a mountain. But you get up close and you see, wow, there's trees, there's deer, there's ponds, there's so many different things, different kinds of trees. It's unlimited variety in the forest. So we reduce everything to consciousness, but we don't pulverize it and we say that within consciousness it's all just one. We reduce it to consciousness. We eliminate everything else. But now within consciousness we find that there's unlimited variety. That's where the enjoyment is. And the Mayavadis are shut out. They can't get into it. Hiran mayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham. They're blinded by the headlights. They can't see into consciousness because they don't want to see into consciousness. They want to see light. And so they see it to the point where they can't see anything else. But those who are more fortunate, those who have gotten the grace of the internal energy, those who take shelter of the internal energy, they look into that light and they see all the variety. It's all consciousness. There's nothing there but consciousness. But it's an unlimited variety. Okay. So we're ready for the Abhishek, so we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.